Ukraine security issue.
On the 7th of May, the 73rd day of Russia's war against Ukraine, fierce fighting continued in the Donbas. Even under incessant fire, the Ukrainian defenders held the line and beat off all the enemy attacks. Failing to break through the Ukrainian defenses, the Russians kept on targeting residential areas and civilian infrastructure. Their bombs, shells, and missiles again destroyed dozens of apartment buildings, private houses, schools, stores, and industrial facilities in a score of towns and villages across the region. Unfortunately, civilian casualties were reported again. The Russians also continued to target cities and other parts of Ukraine. Massive missile strikes were reported in the Sumy, Poltava, Odessa, and Kharkiv regions. Breaking their promise to cease fire and let civilians out of the Azov port city of Mariupol, the Russian troops continued to bomb, shell, and storm the Azovstal steel plant, the last stronghold of the Ukrainian defenders that has also been a shelter for hundreds of civilians since early March. The evacuation from the totally destroyed and blocked city proceeds very slowly. The people wait for evacuation buses for several days, but very few are lucky to break out of the Russian grip. In the meantime, according to the Ukrainian Defense Intelligence, the Russians are actively preparing for a pompously announced V-Day parade in Mariupol on the 9th of May. Russian officers even got an order to leave their frontline positions to reinforce security during the parade, a shameful show-off of Kremlin butchers, rapists, looters, and propagandists. The Ukrainian Defense Intelligence warns of a high threat of massive missile strikes on all cities across the country during the nearest days. Viktor Andrusiv, advisor to the Interior Minister, said in a comment, "We have information that they are going to hit Ukraine with what they call bloody fireworks. That's their special way of celebrating V-Day. They have even used fewer high-precision missiles lately, saving them for the 9th of May," said Viktor Andrusiv. The General Staff of the Ukrainian Armed Forces reported on Saturday that Russian invaders had blown up three motorway bridges in the Kharkiv region in order to hamper the counter-offensive actions of the Ukrainian forces. The regional center and scores of other cities have been constantly bombed and shelled since the first days of the Russian invasion. Millions have fled the horrors of the war, and many have very painful memories. "I can't find the right words to express what it felt like when I thought I was going to die the next moment," said Katerina Stepanishcheva, an 18-year-old evacuee from Kharkiv. "It was scary in the basement when we heard Grad missiles fly to Novoaleksiivka and the Peremohi subway station. My home was almost in the center of the city. On the 1st of March, we heard a whistling sound and a girl shouted, 'Get down!' We lay on the floor and all the windows were smashed. It was such a horror to think that the next shell would get right into my window and kill me. On the 1st, 2nd and 3rd of March, they massively bombed the central part of the city. We heard it all. I was unable to go to my mom and granny because of constant shelling. Besides, the bridges were blown up. I just didn't know how I could get to my relatives. One day I just got packed and said to myself, 'That's it, I'm leaving.' I wasn't sure if I'd be killed in my apartment or on the train to Kyiv. Either way, I thought it was more dangerous to stay." Katerina moved to Ivano-Frankivsk a month ago. She already has new friends there and continues to have remote classes. But her heart longs for her mother and grandmother who stayed in the town of Kupensk that is now occupied. It's very difficult to reach them by phone. According to the latest UN update on the war in Ukraine, the death toll now exceeds 3,000 civilians. However, official Kyiv does not publish such data, saying only that the number may be far greater. In Mariupol alone, according to the local authorities, at least 22,000 civilians have been killed. More than 1,200 bodies of civilians have been found in the Kyiv region, and many people are still looking for their dear ones, or their bodies at least. Serhii Perebyinis lost his wife and two children. They were fleeing Irpin in an evacuation convoy when the Russians fired mortars. Serhii was not there at the time. The family fled their home city Donetsk in 2014 after it was occupied by pro-Russian rebels. First, they settled in Kyiv and then bought an apartment in its satellite town of Irpin. We tried to escape death, but it got my wife and kids. We Ukrainians are entirely different from Russians, he said. We are different peoples. Our ways of thinking are different. We want to live, develop and build something new. We've been progressing to EU membership all these years. Our goal is to be with the entire civilized world and move forward. The way the Russians think is very hard to understand. They want to go back to the USSR, to the prison of nations. It's the Russian president's dream to make us all live there again. He robbed me of my future. This war is just extermination of the Ukrainian people. My own tragedy is one of thousands happening across this country. What is happening in Mariupol and what we saw in Bucha after it was deoccupied is just genocide, said Serhiy Perebinis. The Russian invaders terrorize residents of all the occupied Ukrainian regions. According to Tamila Tashova, presidential representative to the Autonomous Republic of Crimea, about 500,000 residents of the Kherson region bordering on Crimea are kept in basements and subjected to torture. They are on the so-called blacklist of public activists and the military that have fought Russia-backed militants in the Donbas since 2014. The occupiers use the same tactics and methods they used in Crimea in 2014, Tashova said. Immediately after Russian troops invaded Crimea, activists, journalists, and all others who disagreed with the Kremlin's policy were repressed, abducted, or killed. Now the Russians are trying to do the same in the Kherson region. At first, they plan to organize a pseudo-referendum and proclaim a quasi-republic similar to those of Donetsk and Luhansk. That venture failed, and now the occupiers are considering another scenario, the region's annexation to Crimea, said Tamila Tashova. People around the world are willing to help Ukraine. At Christie's charity auction in London, President Volodymyr Zelensky's hockey jersey was sold for £90,000. Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who took part in the event, called for generous bids, and they did exceed the starting piece, which was £50,000. Addressing the auction via video call, the owner of the lot thanked Great Britain for supporting his country and commended Boris Johnson on his courage. On the lot sold at the auction was a ceramic mug shaped as a rooster, the gift Johnson got while taking a walk in Kyiv together with Zelensky last month. The money will go to fund a batch of humanitarian aid to Ukraine.